This is Chatting Human Design, the place to be to hear how real people use human design in their everyday life. I'm so excited to have you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Chatting Human Design. We have another projector. We're getting a projector parade in, guys, and I'm so excited about it because we had a lot of generators and then now, bam, we're getting some projectors. So everybody, please welcome to the episode 6-2 Emotional Projector, April Goff Brown. Woohoo! Welcome. Hi.
Welcome. Thank you. Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
We're happy to have you. And you wrote a book. A book. That's, I always thought maybe I would write a book because I really enjoyed writing. And I got my best grades in school were in writing. My highest compliments from teachers were in writing. I actually had my freshman year of college, I had my one of my instructors ask if she could use one of my essays as an example of like structurally how to write an essay. And I was like, oh, that's so neat. Yes, we can do that. So okay. That was awesome. But I can't write a lot. Like I think I can. And then no. And I don't journal. Like journaling for me feels very repetitive. I feel like I write the same thing over and over and over again. I know it works for some people, but it does not work for me. But you've done it. Journey to Yourself, Unlocking the Gates of Human Design to Awaken Your Inner Wisdom. I wanted it to be as good as the first time I said it.
Yay, and it just came out on Wednesday, the 24th, so it's really exciting to have you, you know, have doing this in its infancy in the world.
Well, that's awesome. I'm happy to have you. And I want to know, first of all, because I mean, this is kind of a weird thing, human design. How did you find it? How did it find you?
Oh, I keep thinking about that. And as much as I can see things when they happened, this is very cloudy for me. Mm. So I know that a woman here that I know is a human design specialist. And so I'm going to assume I heard it through her.
Okay. I love that.
Okay. And then when I heard about it, it was a defining moment because it is what I'd been looking for through all of my adult career life. Mm-hmm. Okay. I did try to go back and get a master's degree, but nothing ever hit quite the way that when I discovered human design or it discovered me, it was, wow, this is exactly what I have been looking for. And so I delved into anything I could find online. Mm-hmm. I bought books and ultimately completed certification training in quantum human design with Karen Curry Parker. Mm-hmm. So that I really felt like I can use this. I can help people with it. And so it's been a few years and it has been just amazing to have it here.
Mm-hmm. Book. Yeah. Was Karen's book.
I've got several of hers. And I think the book that really hit me personally was Becoming an Empowered Projector with Evelyn Levinson.
Mm-hmm. I've heard of that one.
Reading that was like, oh my God, I'm not crazy. Oh, this is why I'm this way. Oh, this mm-hmm. feels really good. And so I will tell every projector you ought to get it because it really was, you see yourself in every page. Mm-hmm. And it was finally a way to breathe.
Yeah, I totally agree. I feel like, I know as projectors, we're here to be conditioned. So it's hard to say like our conditioning is so like, heavy and complicated, especially around what we do, what we produce in this society, what we have to offer you. Like, mm-hmm. what do I have for you? Especially if you have an undefined heart. But there's a lot of things that can go into it that ultimately we're saying we're enough just like this. And some days I have the energy and some days I don't. So take it or leave it.
Right. I used to wonder what was wrong with me. years back when my husband and I would go outside and get and do the yard work, and he could be there from 9 a.m. till 4 p.m. He's a nice manifesting generator.
My husband's a generator.
And I get out there maybe about 10, and I'd be in the house when I was younger by 2. Now it's within an hour that I'm done. It's just, I just couldn't understand how he could keep on going and going and going until I realized and learned that I'm not supposed to, and it's okay to stop. And when the energy is high, go for it. Because it's not going to last for a long time. And so while it's there, do it. And when I feel it kind of stop.
Yeah. And give yourself the grace and compassion. Be like, it's okay that I can't keep going. Because a lot of times I feel like the non-sacrals assume if they are to get tired really quickly, or if they don't want to do something, that they don't like that thing anymore. And there's like, oh, I don't have the energy for it. That must mean that I'm not into this thing anymore. Well, that's not true. Just because you can't get up the energy to do it for 6 hours in a day doesn't mean you're not interested. It just means that you need a break. You're doing too much. Mm-hmm. Today is not the day for that. And maybe you can come back to it later at a later date, a later time, and try it out again. It doesn't mean that you're not into that thing anymore. It just means it's not really consistent for you.
Right. And what I've had to help him understand is that when I'm feeling it and it's time to do it, I need to do it. Mm-hmm. And he'll say, oh, why don't you wait till it's this? Why don't you wait? It's like, no, I need to do it now, because I can't be guaranteed that tomorrow I'm going to feel up to it. You know, so I'm really helping him understand the different energy patterns that he and I have.
Yeah.
And when it's up, I go for it.
Mm-hmm. And it's hard, because generators will never understand, just as we'll never understand how it is to have a consistent sacral motor. They'll never understand what it's like to have that inconsistency. It's just built into them. It is what it is. They can have compassion for us and really try to feel for us, but you can't really put yourself in the other person's shoes in that regard, because it's so different.
And it's right. And so in one way, I mean, I love being a projector. There's, you know, I really, really do love it. I have an 11-year-old granddaughter that is a projector. Her parents, her brother, and my husband are all manifesting generators. And so I really feel like it's part of my role is to help them understand, don't expect everything from her the way, you know, she's not going to be able to. So she's not being difficult. She's needs to stop. Give her the break, you know, and some of these things. So I'm really glad that I know that about her. And I'm also helping her understand what it means.
And I think we're really great for the generators, because we can see and we can tell when they're doing something they're not into and they're getting really frustrated and burnt out. And it's like, see that feeling, that thing you got right there, that's sort of adjacent to us. So that means you don't want to be doing this thing. So you can stop too. Like, you don't have to keep going as a generator. You stop now too, because you obviously don't want to do this thing. Which for generators can be like, so what if I don't want to do the thing? I'm doing the thing.
Right, because they think that they're supposed to, you know, they just, it's like, no, really about learning how to commit to the right thing and not saying yes to everything. So there's so much detail that can go into that, that you just can't say yes to everything, because you won't have the energy for what you really want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll resent it.
Off. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
You'll get frustrated is the technical term in human design. But a lot of times when I talk to generators, they're pissed. They're like angry that they said yes. They're mad at themselves most of the time that they committed. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, you're a generator. You commit. Like, that's what you guys want to do. That's like your jam is, I want to do this. I want to do this. How can I fit this in? And we're just letting you know that you're off the hook for all the stuff that you don't want to do. I mean, as much as you can be off the hook, we all have to go to the DMV or like do the stupid stuff that is life, adult things that are like, bleh. But besides those things, you try to outsource the stuff that doesn't, that you don't like if you're a generator. And for projectors, it's more of a whole energetic level of not wanting to do anything. Not just one thing. It's none of the things.
Right. And I feel it when with being an emotional projector, when that wave is down, I know just everybody stay away. Mm-hmm. And the two line comes in and I just want to be here by myself alone until I can regroup and allow it to happen. And I'm grateful that my husband truly gets that because he never takes offense by it.
Yeah.
Just waits.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's cool. And I think that's really nice that he's understanding, because like I said, it can be hard for generators to get it. But if you just go, oh, it's okay that I don't get it. I see you're doing your thing. That can be really helpful. The 6-2, that's such an interesting profile. I'm a 3-6, so I kind of get the 6 line a little bit, but that second line, man, my husband's a 2-4. So I'm always like, second line is almost like magic to me. It's very like, I feel like it gives the second line people, I feel like, have this confidence energy that they don't maybe know any that it's even there, but I feel it from any second line I've ever met. I feel a confidence of like, if this is what I want to do, this is what I'll do. It'll get done. I'm not worried about how it's going to go.
Like, exactly.
He's very like mellow, and he just kind of is like, we'll just do it. And I'm like, well, what about when we get to this part? And then what about over here? And then this over here? And I'm all up in her because of my Ajna being defined. And he's just like, it'll happen.
It'll get there, you know? And it's funny because as you say that, I'm thinking about how I approach new projects. Uh-huh. And I have no clue, but I can figure it out. That's always, I can figure it out.
Yeah.
And then I also know with the two line is that there's just the seemingness is that we get things and I can't mm-hmm. explain any of it. I can't explain any of it. It's just as there.
Yeah.
And it's the being able to appreciate that solitude, that another projector, I know she calls it her high hermit time. So when the high hermit time comes in, it's really about being able to go inward. And especially my head and Ajna are open, that there's so much that swirls around is how then can I need time to let it swirl to settle someplace. Mm-hmm. And that settling will let me know, is it time to come out yet or not?
Yeah. I love the way you're describing it. I haven't really heard in a long time anyone describe it in such a hermit way, like the crab, you know, and the way you're describing it, I'm seeing like a little hermit crab come when it's time to come out, and it comes out.
And if it's not, well, then it just goes back in there for another time. It's not always easy to find it again, but it will come out when it needs to. And I think that's why when we talk about the book, is I didn't sit down with the idea to write a book at all. I was studying the gates and I was reading different schools of thought, so to speak, you know, and trying to digest it and summarizing it for me. And again, because of all this openness, the way I've learned to be able to remember things is to write it down. So I'm a note taker, and I've always been a note taker. So by taking these notes and then putting it down in some kind of a summary was for my own purposes, particularly as I started working with clients, is that it was a way of really integrating things. Mm-hmm. And I was doing it following the sun transit so that I had time to really digest each gate. And the next thing I know, I had a lot written. Mm-hmm. And it was, okay, so now what do I do with this? Because there could be a book. And it took me, again, another few months to figure out what that book might look like. And ultimately, when I saw the first preview of it, it looked like what I imagined.
That's so cool.
And I had no idea how it got there, but it looked like how I imagined it would
look. Second line thing to say. I love it. I love it. So I have a lot of videos too. I don't write, but I have a lot of video.
Okay.
That's always funny to me. I get overwhelmed immediately thinking about just having that. And like, what am I supposed to do something with it? And then I just am like, oh, right. Overwhelmed.
Yeah. And it, you know, so I put it away for a while and then I came back to it. I had gone on vacation, and when I came back to it, I looked at it to say, okay, is this going to happen or not? Mm-hmm. And as I read it, I was like, wow, there's some good stuff here. So yeah, it needs to go out into the world. It is, it's, and it wouldn't, there were probably about 99 versions of it before I landed on this one because of all the editing. And I also read every single word aloud because I'm known to write sentences that could be 10 lines long.
Yeah.
So when I was getting lost in what I was hearing, it was time to do more editing. Mm-hmm. So the editing process and just the rewrites took a while, but I'm really, really, I'm really pleased that I did it. And I know it was the right thing to get out there.
Awesome. Yeah. Something else that needs to get out there is Magic Mind. Hey guys, I'm on day 7 of my Magic Mind challenge. I take it in the afternoon because I feel like this and I want to feel like this, but if I have coffee, I'll be like this. So I get clean, focused energy in a convenient shop anytime, anywhere. They have a limited time offer you can use now. They get you up to 48% off your first subscription or 20% off of one-time purchases with code HUMANDESIGN20. Go to www.magicmind.com/human design to use the code. There's nootropics, adaptogens, matcha, which is a little bit of caffeine, but it doesn't get you crazy because I'm very caffeine sensitive. Vitamin C and D, Dr. Back, great customer service and support. Once again, 48% off of your first subscription, 20% off of your one-time purchase with code HUMANDESIGN20 at magicmind.com/human design. Go there now. Okay. So what is this book about? You said you were taking notes on the sun gates, really. Was that the how it was going for you? So every
that's
five
how
days,
it started, right?
Yeah. And then you just kind of put together all the information about these gates. How do you have it organized, and how does it, like, I'm seeing all the gates. There's a lot. There are 64 gates. So that's a lot of information.
There are 64 gates, and all 64 are in the book. Mm-hmm. So what I did was whittle down the information, because I think that most people, they learn their type. So they learn their strategy. They learn their decision-making authority, and they get to their profile. And that's as far as they go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And whenever I was reading things around gates, sometimes it was really having to sort it out and figure it out. And mm-hmm. I like things that, I'm somebody that likes practicality. I want something to be easy enough to understand. And so I wanted to find a way to make the gates accessible to the general lay person or somebody who knows their design, but isn't going to go deep into to the study of it.
It could be a lot. Yeah,
it is. It is. And I'm not going to say that I got every single thing, but what I was able to do is come up with what I saw as an essential theme in each of the gates. Mm-hmm. And I love quotes. And so as I was doing this initially, the summarizing of the gates, I started to put them by the transit dates into my own group. And mm-hmm. so I started with, well, what's a quote that represents this? And I made them all up. So I didn't go searching for them. I made them all up. And so in the book is the theme that I've identified. Sometimes it's the name of the gate. Sometimes it's not. A quote. And then a brief description with the idea of, I wanted to speak to the reader that you have all of the gates. I mean, there's no doubt about it. We have all of the gates.
Yes.
The ones we may pay attention to, those are the ones that are defined, but we have all of them. And so to make them accessible is, this is what it means. This is what this gate, so what is compassion about? What is self-love about? What is leadership, natural ability about? Those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And then there are some questions at the end of each of those chapters, and they're short. They're like a page and a half. Mm-hmm. And then there's the question, so that is that two line coming in is, how do you reflect on this? Mm-hmm. You know, how does this work for you? How do you see yourself doing it? Or how do you see yourself experiencing it is more of what I should be saying. And that is how it came about. That's awesome. It's an easy read. And so I had some people reviewing it before, I got near publishing it, and one person knew nothing about human design. And she said, well, April, I got kind of lost because I didn't understand it. So could you put something in there about it? So I have the highest level, most basic description of human design in there, so that when I talk about later, well, it's in the throat center, you can go back and see, oh, that's this. And you know, to refresh, because what I got from the gates, and this is what surprised me, I think, the most, what I got from the gates is this roadmap of how to be an absolutely wonderful human being. And that it was about the individual. And I saw where, like, the circuitry could make some sense now, because it is a very selfish study, because you're learning about yourself, but it is also about the community. Okay, or the tribe, the community, and then it's about the collective, which I see as the greater humanity.
Yeah.
And that's what really, really surprised me most. And that's why I knew it had to go out, because that's what makes us wonderful human beings, when we can balance all of that.
Yeah. Yeah. I love all that. I love the positivity too, that you're bringing to it, where you're like, look, this is all of the awesomeness that you have, even if it's defined or not, which is another really interesting thing that I'm glad that you brought up, is that we're all of the chart. Like, when you first come to human design, you see the colors and the definition, you're like, oh, this is me. This is me. It's all you. It's just, some of it is inconsistent and some of it is consistent, and that's just how it is. And yeah, it can be confusing for people when they're like, oh, but I don't have access to this. You do. It's just, you don't know when that's going to happen. Maybe when you're in aura with someone else, maybe because of the transits, or maybe just blam, you get some of it for a second.
Well, but, and a great example of that, really truly is a friend of mine who, in her work, she is a joy advocate. The books she's written are all about joy and being joy. And her gate 58, which is joy, is not defined. It's wide open. And she said, so we talked about it. Well, how can that be? And it's like, well, at one point, and she did admit, at one point in her life, she didn't feel joy at all. And as she began to concentrate on it and gain it from people who she was surrounding herself with, is that she has access to joy all the time, because she's really made it part of her, and in sharing that message with others. And so it's that law of attraction, is that the more you give it, the more you get it. And so the more she gives out joy, the more joy she's also absorbing into herself. And so it's a really, I think, a great example that, yes, it wasn't defined for her, but anyone who knows her knows that joy is her.
And it's the undefined gates, we become really wise in those areas. So, or the undefined centers. So I guess I would say, you could say the same about the undefined gates, is that you get really wise about that particular energy and holding space in that place for other people.
Right. You know, it's another way of looking at it. Yeah, I hadn't thought of it that way, but it makes sense.
Yeah. So she holds space for people when it comes to joy and seeing joy and feeling joy and knowing that that's important.
Right.
Yeah. I love that. I have gate 58. I love, that's one of my favorite dates that I have because it feels very, I also have motivation innocence and they feel like they go together very well. And so when I'm in that vibe, I'm like a little kid and it's pretty fun. And I used to think that was silly and now I'm not. I think it's a little bit more of who I am than I anticipated or thought.
It's great. No, it's great.
I know you don't have a favorite defined gate because that's you probably like all of them, but is there one of your defined gates that you feel like really either supports you in what you're doing or you feel that it's there, you know that it's there?
And I do have a favorite one, believe it or not.
Oh, you
It's
do? Okay, you can play favorites with your gates then.
gate 39.
Oh, nice.
Provocation.
Ooh.
Okay, it's really interesting because I never thought of it that way. But over my course of my life, I've had people come to me always looking for some help, and or advice. And I realize I never gave advice, never gave advice, but I always had questions. I always provoked a thought that, have you thought about it this way? And so I realized that I've done that all of my life. And I enjoy doing it, not sometimes just to be provocative, but really when I will be part of a conversation, and I know that projectors, we like deep conversations, and that someone will be, they're talking about it this way, and something will pop in my head. And so I will ask my open throat or undefined throat, ask if I can, I have a thought about that. Can I share it? And it's always a way of provoking some other way of thinking it or looking at it from a different perspective, sometimes for conversation and other times to just, that's all. I put it out there, do what you want with it. You can say no, that's okay, but I just wanted to throw it out there because I know they'll come back one day and it's a seed. I'm a gardener, and so I want to plant that seed somewhere. And so I just go around planting seeds with gate 39, and it's been amazing.
That's awesome. Yeah, because 39 for some people can be like, oh, provocation. It's just that the way some things are described. And like I've said many times on the podcast, the original describer of things, Ra, had a way of speaking and a way of sharing that was very shocking and very just like, because he had the gate of shock. So he just kind of was blunt. So that's how a lot of stuff comes across. But when you really read into it, it's like, listen, yeah, provocation sounds like, oh, what? Now I'm just going to walk around poking the bear all the time. If you understand how powerful it is and how, like, what you're doing, you're simply just kind of going boop. And letting people sort of think on it and marinate on it. And they're gonna be like, dude, why did April say that? Because now I can't get it out of my head. And they're mad at you, but they love you at the same time. It's like that teacher you think of in school that was like really got on you and was really kind of frustrated you. But the reason they did it with that was because they liked you and they were like, look, we want you to succeed in this world. And so I'm gonna give you a little bit of tough love, blah. And for a projector, that's usually information that we see that you don't see. And we show it to you, and you go, oh, damn it. And
And
we do it with
sometimes
love,
it's, yeah,
mostly.
sometimes it's like when I'm, and especially in working with clients, when I raise it, I can see it on their face with, oh. And oftentimes provoking that, you need to come to terms with your patterns. Your own story, your own, because as long as you leave it at the surface and don't go deep, you're not gonna, it's that definition of insanity, do the same thing over and over again and expect a different result.
Yeah,
All right.
exactly.
So so I've come to truly appreciate that gate more and more. And so yeah, I do have that favorite one with it. I also, I believe it's 63 with the head is that just that wonder of the world, like a child. And I also have that just it the world is just amazing to me. There's always something to learn. There's always something to see. There's always something to appreciate. So after I've done all the provoking, I just go back and enjoy everything.
I love that. I think 58 might be mine. I was looking while you were talking about it. I'm like, what's mine? Because I mean, they come, a lot of them come up all the time. I have 11 the most, and 1156 is my only channel. So I feel like I should be really into 11, which is, for people that don't know, gate 11 is from the Ajna. It's the gate of ideas. It's just a lot of ideas. But it's complicated because they're not all for you. Sometimes they're for other people, and we can get a little protective and like, this is my idea, don't steal it. Or if you see someone out in the world doing the things that you want to, this to me, 11 can be kind of like FOMO inducing, because you see people out in the world doing your ideas, generators out there doing your ideas, making them happen. You're like, that was mine. I had that idea. Oh, and it can feel like you can't get anything done. But for me, I realized if I share my ideas, and if I don't stress about, okay, I have an idea, now I have to make it happen from beginning to end, like immediately, that's where I get stressed out about that. Just have an idea. It's an idea. It's a thought. It's a cool thing. And maybe a year from now, I'll be like, oh, remember that cool idea? Now I want to do it. Or this is the person who this idea is for. So here you go.
Right.
So 11, I have like a love. I love it. But at the same time, I'm like, sometimes I just feel like I get so much stuff up here.
And we got to get out of this. Yeah. We have to get away from this all the time.
I mean, that's what we're told to do. When you are defined Ajna and throat, and that's really where your definition lies, it's not really about getting out of it. To me, it's about realizing that that's not how you make decisions, but it can be a part of the process of whittling down the decision or defining what the decision means to you. Like, you can still use your logic stuff.
Right.
As long as you're using the body as the decision-making tool, which when you have a lot of openness in the body, that's like, that's hard. It's hard to do.
And you need to hear yourself talk about it.
Yeah, I do talk.
You need to hear it. And sometimes it's that it doesn't shut off in the mind, but I'm talking to myself. Now, I don't have that authority, but I talk to myself a lot.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And then it sorts out that, no, it's not the right one. And because I've learned that impulsivity is one of the worst things in the world for me. And so I now always ask for time and give myself time. And particularly, and I know you've seen this, that all the marketing things, and you've got to buy now because this is a limited time offer. And well, you know what? It always comes back. That's what I learned. It always comes back. Mm-hmm. So it's limited today, but in 3 days, I'm going to watch TV and that same offer is going to be on.
Mm-hmm.
So
exactly,
you know, no more stressing over it. And I don't work impulsively any longer. It's just, nope, chill.
Is this because of your emotional authority that you, you're like,
you know, and I used to, well, and so many years ago, and again, before I learned human design, I remember having a conversation with a colleague. We were doing a joint project together, and I had some real good ideas and thoughts about how we should proceed. And he proceeded to talk rings around me. And when we got off the telephone, because that's all you did back then, was I gave everything away. Mm-hmm. And I was so angry with myself for doing that. Mm-hmm. And I learned that never again. I always say, well, I need to think on this for 24, 48 hours. Let me get back to you.
Oh, yeah.
So I knew even back then that that's was how I needed to make decisions. Mm-hmm. And when I saw that it was this emotional authority, I was even happier about it that, yes, this is the right way. Mm-hmm. And I cautioned myself. And it's funny because this year I had astrology readings done for me for the full year. And for this first half of the year, it's been all about no impulsive, don't overindulge, watch the spending. So everything is about, you know, doing and being impulsive and buying mm-hmm. and saying, no, you need to stop, you need to slow down. So I'm learning to pay attention to it more and more.
That's so awesome. And I love that you're talking about this in a way that is like, hey, I still want to make the impulsive decision. I still immediately am like, I want to, here it is. I want to, but I know that I should wait. And I love that you set the expectation for the other person. Like, hey, I will get back to you in X amount of time, or give me this or whatever. That's all you have to do. And people don't realize it's very easy when someone asks you for something and you need time, just tell them, I need a day or two. Or if you don't know how much time, be more vague. And there's no one who's going to tell you no, unless like they're getting in a hot air balloon and they'll be unreachable. I don't know. Like,
I need it today. I need it today. Well, then
you should have asked me 3 days ago.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it may be that I'm sorry. I'm not able to right now.
Yeah. But there's not a lot of things that are that like, I mean, we're not surgeons. We're not like rocket scientists. We're not really doing things that require us to make super serious decisions. So if someone is asking that of you, that's because they're trying, in my mind, they might be trying to control the situation.
Right.
Just because that makes them feel better. It gives them a sense of security, which is a different thing entirely. And you can still hold your boundary firm and be like, hey, I need time. And with the emotional authority, you don't know how much time you need. It's just, you just time. And then maybe you'll figure it out right away. Maybe you'll know in 15 minutes and you're like, well, I told them 2 days. So I'm just going to wait 2 days because maybe I'll feel differently.
Right. And you know, people, and it's interesting when people know that of you with the emotional authority, they know human design, they will often say, I know you need some time to think about this.
So nice.
So you can get back to me next week. Will that work? They also know then don't ask at the last minute because it may not be doable.
Or if you're going to ask at the last minute, understand what you be like, I totally understand that you're not a last minute person, but I have a last minute opportunity that I want to bring to you. No pressure. And then that gives the emotional authority the space. You know, to be like, actually, I do want to go get a milkshake. That sounds really fun. And not like I need to take a lot of time to think about it. So let's go.
And it's really, I think people need to relax around some of this too, is that it's really around the big decisions. Mm-hmm. You know, I would hear about an offer and I would purchase it. And I can't tell you how many times I regretted because it wasn't what I thought. It wasn't needed. There was no refund policy. So 12 months later, I'm still paying for it on my monthly stuff. Mm-hmm. And I stopped using it in the second month. Mm-hmm. So it's things like that are a major commitment. Give yourself time if you have emotional authority. For simple things that aren't much, go ahead with it. You know, impulsivity can be fun in that respect. If somebody calls and says, hey, you want to go out tonight? Sounds good. I like this person. I want to go do and this. Yes.
Yeah, it feels like, ooh, it almost feels like you're going against your authority, but you know you're not. Right. But it's like, ha-ha, I'm not going to take time.
But it's for the big things that are going to be an investment. Give yourself the time.
Yeah. I'm a mental projector. So we have also a very time authority. We're supposed to take a lot of time. And it's funny how other mental projectors will come to me and say, if I need help, like, how do I wait for the invitation to ask for help? And I was like, well, what do you need help with? Like things to do that you need help doing, take off your plate. You don't need to wait for an invitation. No one's going to come to you and be like, can I help you? Like, no, if you need help with stuff, you can put that out there into the world. I am sharing that I need help. I said, it might help you to ask people that you trust or ask people that are close to you that you would want to help you. Hey, can you please help me with this? But you don't have to wait for an invitation to ask for help. I was like, oh no, please don't wait. Cause you'll never get it.
And people think that they need to wait, you know, projectors sometimes think they need to have an invitation for every single thing. No, and it's like, so as an example, I thought it would be interesting to apply to speak at a conference. Mm-hmm. And there was a call for speaker. So I submitted. Uh-huh. Now, I got an invitation to speak, which is great, but it they wouldn't have known that I was interested if I hadn't put myself out there.
Exactly.
And then it's the negotiation. Well, yeah, I really, really wanted to do this because I had thought about it for a while before I put it out there. Mm-hmm. So you can create a space for an invitation.
I mean, well, it's the same thing with here. Well, you can even say that you were invited by them putting out the application or whatever they did. That was the invitation to you.
But it's the same thing with doing this podcast with you, mm-hmm. is that I saw that it was, and I reached out. And the invitation came. Mm-hmm. So you can flow. I was particularly looking for where could I talk about a human design book with human design people?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. And there you were. There yeah. you were. And yeah, it was great.
Yeah. Awesome.
It is great. So.
Yeah. And I try to share with everyone, if you want to be on the podcast, you have to ask, which is ridiculous for projectors because they're like, no. I just want to ask. Well, this is your invitation to ask me. There you go.
Right.
And generators right. are like, yeah, sign me up. You want me to ask? Here I am. I'm asking. That's why right. I think I get so many generators. I never even thought of that, is because I don't ask people to be on. I wait for them to ask. And generators are very like, oh, here I am.
It's an opportunity.
Yeah, here I am. And projectors are like, I have to ask. That feels against. It's not against. This is an open invitation to ask. Blah, blah. That's right. kind of how it works. And when projectors are working with other projectors, it's kind of, like you said, you feel it out. If none of us initiates, if neither of us starts anything, then we're just two projectors waiting for the invitation on right. something that we both want to do. So
right.
you have and to kind of become, put it out there.
Yeah.
There. Yeah.
Absolutely. And wonder how come they're not asking me? Well, you have to be. I think one of the things that I learned from Evelyn in the book she wrote was you need to become visible,
yes.
recognizable. And yes. so you consider it as like, all right, Janelle will never know that I exist. And so I need to become visible to her. And the way I'm becoming visible is reaching out to her.
Uh-huh. She just emailed me. Not a lot of energy lost.
Right. And that's all it is I did da, 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 da. And, you know, the worst that could happen is I would never hear from you. Right. And yeah. I could live with that. So that's the other thing is that, and yet it was a real quick, oh, this would be great. And so here we are. So I think it's for projectors to relax a bit about it. Yes, we need invitations for big things, but you can also help shape it by becoming visible,
putting yourself out there.
And really important for a projector with a two line, because otherwise you're going to hide in your little room all the time.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. and you can't do that. And then expect that, you know, you can't, we projectors can't be the best kept secret in town.
I love that. You're totally right. All right. Please tell everybody where they can find your book, where I'm going to go find it after this.
Sure. So it is up on Amazon. And the link to it is also on my website, which is very simple. It's my full name.com. So aprilgoffbrown.com.
I'll link it here too.
You can see at the top it says books. You click on that, it'll take you right to the book. There are two journals that go with it that people can also choose. One is, I call it the companion journal, which takes the questions in the book and reframes them from how do you to a how do I, so that it becomes a journaling thing specific for non-journalers to try. And then for those of us, I'm an Oracle card user.
Nice.
I created an Oracle Wisdom Journal. And so that takes each gate and has you look at a message from the past self, a message a present self needs, and what's a message from the future self around the theme of the gate.
Oh, cool.
And so you pull the cards with those questions in mind and journal about that. So I've made journaling practical.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, when you get like stuff to talk about, it's easier than just like, oh, this I had this again for breakfast. I did this again. So I right. love that you have all those little accompaniments. I'm going to have to check this out.
Good.
Also, check it out in the notes of this podcast, Magic Mind. There'll be my link and the discount code and all that stuff there for you. Go to JanelleTurner.net and book a Human Design Plus support session with me now. I also just unveiled my Human Design relationship session, which is for two people in any sort of relationship whatsoever to really get a lot of clarity and love and support in their relationship, get solid, you know? So thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks for coming on, April. This was super fun. Oh, and I can't wait to check out your book.
Good, thank you. And I hope I see you again soon.
I'm sure that you will, because as you all know, I love talking about human design. And so that's what we're here for.
Okay.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Chatting Human Design. Join me again soon. Have a fantastic day.